Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Watch Forest Focus. What a week it's been for Nottingham Forest fans. The pain of Brighton, the despair of the first half of a game they weren't even playing in, and then the drama of the second half of that match between Luton and Bournemouth last night. Now Forest goes to Kenilworth Road on Saturday with a chance to open a six-point gap on their opponents if you cast aside a possible points deduction that we might find out more about tomorrow. So joining to discuss all that and more are, first of all, Reds fan Emily Anderson. Morning, how are you doing?
Good morning. Very good, thank you. Yeah, raring to go. Are you okay after last night?
I am. I thought, yeah, well, I did a very therapeutic video with Mark Southerns last night after the game. That was good to unpack how I was feeling. We'll get into how you guys are feeling, including our second guest, Pete Blackburn. Morning, Pete. How are you?
Morning. Yeah, not bad, thanks. Just about recovered from the terror and adrenaline of last night, I think. And also feeling relatively fresh after you ordered me to go to bed at 11:30, like you were a sort of dad at the end of his tether.
Well, you were fretting over who should start up front for Forest. Really, there's someone more important than us who can make that decision. But we will give our lineups as we go along. Just kick us off then, Pete, on how you're feeling about the game now, especially with the context of last night after Luton were 3-0 up and lost 4-3 to Bournemouth.
Well, you've got to feel optimistic and be sort of washed away by the emotions of what happened last night. Sort of really just cleaning up all the misery from the weekend and giving us a fresh start, I guess, because if you don't, then what's the point of being a football fan? I mean, I guess the sort of boring answer around the game is that it isn't a game that's going to create any conclusions, that nothing's going to be done and dusted at the end of it, because there's still, what, 9 games and 27 points to play for. But, you know, what our instincts and our feelings are actually telling us that it's going to be absolutely huge. I'm pretty excited about it, I think, to be honest. Sort of against all of my better knowledge and experience of recent weeks, I suppose, really. But I think it's a game where we can get some joy, and I'm just hoping it's going to be that moment where things come together. We put in a 100-minute performance rather than, you know, 80, 85. And this is going to be the start of the change for us and the turning point.
I guess it's the psychology of it all, really, Emily, because Pete's right, there's going to be 9 games left and 27 points, but the swing of if we win to if we lose and what it means for us and obviously what it means for Luton and potentially the teams around us, it's so massive. And, you know, you want to stay grounded and sober, but equally you kind of want to get swept away with the emotion of it and the hope, I guess.
I'm never grounded and sober. I always get swept, metaphorically or physically, I always get swept away in the motion of it. I think it is about the mental battle, because I actually think I think even Luton fans would struggle to argue that who's got the better team on paper. I think if you pick their strongest 11 and our strongest 11, I would suggest that my dog's about to go nuts. You would suggest that Forest would win every time, but as we know, it's all about the mentality. And I do feel excited about the game, but equally I just hope that the team can keep their emotions in check, and no matter what happens in the game, we can get behind the team. it does really feel like a pivotal day on Saturday. And I keep telling myself, no, it's only a game. It's one game of football. There are nine games to go afterwards. So if we lose, it's not the end of the world. But I just think it, I mean, you said it last week, Matt, it feels almost as important as Wembley. It's almost like a playoff final in one day. And even though, yes, we do have games to go afterwards, I think if we can get something out of Luton, and when I say get something out of, I mean beat them, could that be our kickstart to make sure that we stay up? I'm feeling nervous, but so much better than I felt at 7:45 when driving home from work last night, turning on the radio, hearing they were 1-0 up, and then by the time I got home, they were 3-0 up, and I just thought, what is going on here? Is this like some parallel universe? So, yeah, I feel much better this morning knowing that they threw away a 3-goal lead.
Let me just thank a couple of members, or new members quickly, Nigel Cragg and Matthew Burnham. Thanks for your support. And everyone else who signed up as well, really do appreciate that. I said this to, Mark last night, Pete, on the stream we did straight after the game. An impromptu one, because it felt so big at that moment. But the drama and the emotion and, frankly, the occasional torture of being a football fan was summed up last night, because at halftime, I mean, I felt like our season was unravelling. I always try and be, you know, level-headed and pretty better grounded, certainly on this. But you do occasionally descend into full football fan. And in our WhatsApp group last night in the podcast, I was like, I said this, how have we got 24 points this season? It's been an absolute joke. And now I feel like we can turn it around. But like I was saying, anyway, the drama and the torture of being a fan, it gets to you sometimes, doesn't it, Pete?
It does, yeah. I mean, it's all sort of totally mad, really, isn't it? And I think it's been like that the whole week. I was watching the stream that you guys did after the Brighton game, and there was some pretty palpable anger in there. And watching the sort of week go past since then has been like you all having sort of slow therapy and coming around. So it's been quite nice to see. And it is absolutely balmy that we're now sort of buzzing about the game again and sort of excited about what we might be able to, what we might be able to do. But I think the big reason for that is that, you know, forget about what we've been through. This Luton team are not in a moment of strength here. They've just come out of an unbelievable, energy-sapping, brutal defeat that it has got to have an impact on them. I mean, just to sum up the significance of the moment, one of my good friends, James Sharp, who works for the Mail on Sunday, tweeted last night that Bournemouth are only the fifth team in Premier League history to come from 3-0 down to win. The first since 2003, I think he said. And that is a seriously, seriously punishing statistic to be a part of, and it has got to hurt in that dressing room. I mean, obviously they can be very proud of that first half performance, but what does that count for at the end of the game? I didn't see the interviews after the game, but Rob Edwards at the side of the pitch clapping the fans looked absolutely devastated. And, you know, I mean, I can't see how he turns that round last night. So he's going to obviously have to wake up today, and he's got a couple of days to try and find the sort of the energy again. And I don't know what Luton have got time for now, really. They've got a couple of days of recovery and maybe a bit of video analysis, but I don't think I'd be desperate to look back at some of those goals firing in against us from last night if I was them. So I think it's a massive, massive opportunity and a massive moment for us. And Brighton felt slightly like that in a less sort of significant way, but it felt like there's an opportunity there and we didn't take it. And we can't afford to be saying that again after this game, and certainly not after many more, because, you know, those games are running out and it's about time that this Forest team stepped up and took advantage of one of these moments and really put a marker down.
Yeah, certainly. Thank you very much to Scott Ely for becoming a member as well. They're fine in today, which is great. And also very much thank you to Richard Spray for a $10 donation. Wow, that's very kind, Richard. Thank you. I think Pete's right, Emily, isn't it? Like, we've had quite a few games where I've gone into them and thinking this is an opportunity. And we've been handed quite a lot of them and we've turned them down too many times. The games we've actually won, like Chelsea away, Newcastle away, I've not really gone into those games thinking this is our chance. It's more when the opportunity is there, we've fallen short, and at some point we have to grab it. And this feels like, it's a bit of a cliche, but it feels to me like this could be the sliding doors moment for the season, certainly.
Yeah, and I hate to say that phrase, it's a must win. I'm sure the players aren't approaching it in the emotional way that we seem to be as we go into games. And for them, hopefully, it's just another game. Obviously, it's at Kenilworth Road, which doesn't go in our favour because we know it's such a small, compact stadium, isn't it? And the Luton fans are going to be behind them. I saw the Rob Edwards interviews last night, and he seemed, although he looked dejected, he seemed quite resilient. But I guess what else could he do? And I think the problem that Luton had last night is they had this great first half when they went 3-0 up, but then they didn't change the formation to reflect the 3-0 that they had at half time. So they carried on gung-ho in the second half, despite having that 3-goal advantage, and they very soon lost that. And I wonder if that's what we take advantage of, because they're going to, then I don't think they're going to change their style of play just because they've had that horrible defeat on Wednesday night. They haven't got time to change it. And I don't think that's his philosophy either. So we should really take advantage of the fact that they're a bit Spursy, or a bit how Spurs are this season, where they just go for it no matter what. And I think that is something that we could really, really take advantage of.
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of related to that as well, what Emily's saying, Pete, I think, is I don't think they've got the personnel to make sweeping changes now. They've got players, injuries, you know, players are dropping like flies. Tahith Chong went off last night. He was a good player. See if he's back. But defensively, they're, you know, really are down to the bare bones. And this quick turnaround, the physical and mental draining of it, I mean, it should all play into our hands, shouldn't it?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, I was a bit torn when we were talking about the psychology of the Brighton game last time I was on, and I wasn't sort of confident that you could really predict how these things go. But I don't really see how that could not be the case for them. As you say, it is a proper bare bones situation. I think if you look at their bench from last night, there's several academy players. I think some of them, say one of them was only picked up very recently from one of these sort of next chance academy type things. Players that I mean, it's on me to have the knowledge of them. I don't. They're players that I haven't really come across before. And do they have two keepers on the bench, I think? And the options for changing the game for them are pretty slim, really. I think Corley Woodrow is the sort of potential game changer up front, but he's not a player that we should be desperately worried about. I mean, Luke Berry and Pelle and Panzu Redick, they're players who say an awful lot about this journey that Luton have been on. It's incredible that they're now applying their trade in the Premier League, but they're not Premier League footballers, really. And I think, like we've already said, this is an opportunity that Forest really can't be turning down. That team have got to go out and show the quality that they're supposed to have in this one. And I think the mentality, more than anything, we know there's lots of good players in there, and we've had moments in games, and indeed most parts of games, where we've been full of threat and attacking verve, and we've looked like we've got quality, but it's always been the sort of mentality that's let us down, mostly defending our own box, but in recent games, a little bit in front of goal as well. So this absolutely has to be the moment that changes. I think we can over-dramatise the sort of narrative sometimes. I think must win is a bit of a stretch, because if we draw the game, there's still every chance that we can get something salvaged the rest of the season. But I think it's the sort of critical nature of the moment, given what happened to them this week, suggests that if we win it, it could be an absolute game changer in the sort of journey of the rest of this season. And that's where I feel like the pressure is, the moment that we need to take an opportunity out of, because we're going to get hit by a points deduction. Things are going to start feeling pretty difficult for us. And this could be a big swing. I think we can't afford to lose the game. And I really think we need to go and win it, because we should be able to. Just the other thing I want to talk about is I hope we don't get too wrapped up in this narrative about Kenilworth Road, because I think I'm not sure it's accurate the way we talk about it necessarily. I'm more concerned personally about the size of the pitch than I am about the stadium, because it really doesn't suit the way we want to play. The stadium, this is not the sort of relentless fortress that the City Ground was last season. Their form there isn't great at all. I'm trying to think. I think they've maybe lost four in the last five at home. And granted, a lot of those were just by one goal and against better teams. But I just really hope we don't get wrapped up in that as fans and as players, because our fans can go there and outsing the home fans, and I think our players can shut up the crowd pretty quickly. And you know, the psychology of the crowd and the players is going to be hurt from this week, and if we can go out there, lay down a marker pretty quickly, then hopefully we can really turn that whole thing.
I think for me, Emily, the psychology of the game is around, because I don't think there's very few scenarios where I see it being nil-nil. I think it's, if we go behind, can we come back? And if we go ahead, can we manage the game to stop Luton coming back? Because Luton have shown they can come back from 2-0 down against Villa. And obviously we saw last night what they can do the other way. But that's happened multiple times to them. as well. They've blown leads, they've rallied back. So to me, it's game management and our mentality in that sense is key, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we mustn't underestimate Luton either, even though they're ravaged with injuries and they had a horrible defeat last night for them. Like Pete mentioned, that they're always seem to be in games, don't they? And they have the ability to get back into games like they did against us at the City Ground when we thought we'd nailed a 2-0 lead and they got it back to 2-2. I just really want us, I want us to play the game how they played the first half last night. Obviously, the second half for them was a disaster. We have just got to go for them. We've got this horrible habit of in the first half of games being passive and letting the other team control the game. We need to do that. We need to catch them on the break. We need to use our pace men. We need to scare them with a one-ye. And we need to be so solid in defence because we all know those crosses into the box from Doughty and Morris on the end of them could spell disaster for us. So I just think we've got to be that Forest that knows they can see out games. The Forest that played most of the Liverpool match, the Forest that played against West Ham. We mustn't be scared. And equally, if it doesn't start well for us, it's so crucial that the fans keep singing, because I know Greg mentioned when he was at Brighton at the weekend it was very quiet, and it's really tough when you go a goal down or a couple of goals down to keep singing. But the players, you can see it lifts them, and we've got to keep lifting them, and we've got to stick with them. And I think if every player plays how we know they can and should play, we should be fine. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be one of those games, a scrappy, lots of goals, probably lots of mistakes. Just hopefully we score more than them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just before we get into our lineups then, a quick word for our sponsors of Trent Navigation and what they've got going on. Next Saturday, oh no, not Saturday, April, sorry, not next Saturday, Saturday the 13th of April, Oasis are playing at the Trent Navigation, performing at the Live Shed. The legendary Oasis, and Saturday the 13th of April, they'll be taking stage at 5:30 p.m. right after Forest v Wolves at the City Ground. As always, entry is free. Two outdoor bars and a barbecue food court. What a way to celebrate a Forest win. Were you a Pete Blackburn is a bit younger than me, and probably he was way too cool for Oasis and like some kind of fringe indie bands that played in front of 200 people. But were you an Oasis fan, Pete, growing up?
Big time. You've got me all wrong there, mate.
Big
time. I've seen Oasis a few times. In fact, me and a bunch of friends were camped outside the Ice Arena for the, I don't remember what tour that would have been, maybe Heathen Chemistry tour, I think, in the early hours in a tent on Bolero Square waiting for tickets to come out. I think that's quite a different world now, really, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, no big fan. I'm not familiar with Oasis, I've seen Oasis and they were good fun, so I'm sure it'd be great. And especially, as you say, if Forest have got a win that day, it could be a hell of a night.
Favourite Oasis song?
Oh, God. I'm a bit of a sucker for some of the B-sides, so I'll probably say Masterplan maybe today.
What about you, Emily? Are you a fan?
I noticed you didn't ask me if I was too cool, not to like Oasis. You know I'm not cool. back in the day, I was more of a Blur fan, I'm afraid, and I went to see Blur when they had their big rivalry. But I love Oasis now, and my daughter, who's nearly 14, is a massive Oasis fan. So we always have it blaring out in the car. I'm a bit of obvious choice, really. But Don't Look Back in Anger is my favourite.
Very good. I would say Champagne Supernova. I like.
Yeah.
Or someone just dropped that in the comment. Martin dropped that in. Yeah, or Stand By Me, but then it's in the Halifax advert.
That's always ruins things a bit. Like
it does a bit.
Blur's always on British Gas and stuff. It does sort of take the joy out of it.
Ruins it. And I did see Oasis live once, by the way. So does that make me slightly cooler?
It makes you cooler than me because I haven't seen Oasis live. So there you go. Right, let's get into our lineups then. Back to the football. We'll start with Pete and Emily's team because it's the same. Mine is very slightly different. But I'll read it out and then let these guys talk through it. All our defences are the same, by the way. So it's Matt Sells in goal, back four of Nico Williams, Willy Bolly coming into the team to partner Murillo, Harry Toffolo, Nico Dominguez and Ryan Yates in midfield, Anthony Langer, Morgan Gibbs-White, Callum Hudson-Odoi and Taiwo Awoniyi up front. Assuming I've got that right, Emily, what's your thinking there?
As we talked about after the Brighton game, I felt like there was a lack of maturity in the centre of defence, which is why I've brought Bolly in for his experience, for his height, for his defending ability, and just basically kicking the ball out in those dangerous areas when we need him. The rest of the back four kind of speaks for itself, really, and obviously Sells in goal. In the centre of the park, I was toying with, do we start Yates, don't we? Because I know he gets a lot of criticism for maybe ruining some of our players when moving forward. But I just feel like we need his tenacity. We need his leadership. We need his dogfighting spirit in the centre of the park on Saturday. We need him there to G up the crowd and to do all those things that we know we can do, breaking up play, those sorts of things. And I've said this time and time again, that front four for me of Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, Gibbs-White, Awoniyi works so well, and that has to start. And the pace of Alanga on the right, along with the skill set of Hudson-Odoi on the left, we could really cause them some damage. And even if Taiwo only gets about 60 minutes out of the game, we know now that we've got Chris Wood on the bench ready to take over. I toyed with starting Chris Wood, but I think I could regret that. I think Taiwo works better when he starts a game, and Chris Wood almost works better when he comes on for that 70-minute impact sub, which is why I've gone for a 1 year over Chris Wood.
Thank you very much to Cunning for becoming a member. Literally, just that's all the username is. It just says Cunning, not Cunning something. So, yes, thank you for signing up. Pete, the reason you were up late last night, mentally torn, was because you couldn't decide between Taiwo and Chris Wood. Why would Taiwo get the edge for you? Or have you changed your mind while we've been talking?
No, I haven't changed my mind. But I'm very sympathetic to the idea of Wood starting, which I think he's in your side. So I guess the main reason is that when you look at the weaknesses of Luton, it's defending against counter-attacks, defending against skillful, difficult players, and avoiding fouling in difficult areas. Those are all... I mean, that strikes me as a sort of game plan for Forest in this. And I think having Alanga, Gibbs-White and Hudson-Odoi behind Awoniyi is hopefully our best chance to get something. I think Awoniyi can occupy their big physical defenders and then just allow the space for our quicker, more skillful players to get at them. They're quite immobile as well at the back, aren't they? I think that group is going to be a real handful for them. Taiwo's had the best part of a week to train and to try and build his sharpness and his fitness a little bit. And even if he only gives us half a game, I think that's probably the way to go for me. I can see why it would make sense, because someone texted me this morning saying that the pitch is, I think, 5 metres narrower than ours and 4 metres shorter. And there's not going to be a great deal of space in behind if that's how you look at it. So it might be the case that crosses into Wood is going to be a better approach, and that space for Taiwo behind it perhaps isn't going to be there until legs are maybe a bit more tired or the game gets frantic as it goes on. But I'm sort of sticking to Taiwo. I think part of it is a sort of slightly sentimental, romantic thing, because he has dug us out of this hole before in the Premier League. And I think if it's going to happen again, it feels to me like there's a big he's going to have to play a big part in it. And I want that to start on Saturday. So that's where I'm going with it. But I can't say I'm sort of desperately convicted about Taiwo over Wood.
Let's put my team up then, because it does have those couple of changes, then we'll just talk about that. So I've got Matt Sells in goal, obviously Nico Williams, Willy Bolly, Murillo and Toffolo across the back four as well. Dominguez and then Sangare in midfield, and I'll talk about that. And then Ilanga, Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi, and I've got Chris Wood up front. And I think I just favour Chris Wood. Unless Taiwo's looked actually fit in training, then I would start Wood. And just a couple of other reasons. Aerie Lee in the box, I think, is of use. Pete's right, I think, about getting crosses into their box. It might suit attacking them. And I don't know if he'll read too much into this, but he scored two goals against Luton at the City Ground and played really well. And they were different kind of goals. And I think Nuno trusts him. Someone messaged me, I think it was Lee Millward, who I used to work with, saying that Nuno doesn't have a group of players that he trusts. And I think he's got a smaller core than Cooper had, but I think Wood is probably in it. I question whether Ilanga's in it, but we'll come on to Ilanga. And then Sangare and Dominguez was such a narrow core. I suppose, Emily, you spend 30 million quid on a player, it shouldn't really be feeling like a gamble to play him. But
it absolutely does.
It does, and that's why I'm so kind of reticent. But if he turns up and plays as he should or can, then he should be a regular in this side. So I wouldn't mind all if Ryan Yates plays, to be honest. I don't feel like it's a Danilo game, but it's just such a marginal call. But it is frustrating that we don't hold that much faith in Sangare at this stage of the season, even though it's been a bit broken up for him.
I don't think it is a marginal call for me, because I don't think this is the game for him to suddenly find form. It feels like we've been saying for the last however many months, is this the game he's going to show what he can do? Is this the game he's going to show us what he can do? I just don't think he fits currently into our team. And I don't think a scrappy Luton game, bottom of the table relegation battle, where it's going to get down and dirty, is the game for a player like Sangare. I would much rather have Yates on the field. We know Sangare's a great player. We've seen from his time abroad that he can play football, but currently he's not settling into our team. He's not settling into the Premier League. And we know the mistakes he made in the Brighton game. I'd hate for him to cost us in this game too. So for me, he doesn't start. He just doesn't start. And it's so unfortunate, because we've spent all that money on a player that currently isn't doing it for us. And don't get me wrong, if he starts on Saturday, I will be willing him on like the rest of them. And if he can put in a shift, fantastic. But I wouldn't bet on it.
You're going to come in, Pete. You just large inhale of breath and scratch your head and then stopped.
I was just thinking about going through the team last night. And for me, Yates was an absolute no-brainer. And I feel like a bit of a sort of reactive idiot saying this, because I had Sangare in my team for Brighton last week. But everything that we know or feel about this game, the sort of the seriousness of it, the intensity we expect from Luton, it's all a bit of a mad scramble. They've got very competitive players in midfield. We need someone to look after Barkley. I really feel like we have to have players in that team that we feel we can trust. And for me, Yates is an absolute no-brainer. He also has shown, particularly against Liverpool, that he can have an impact defensively at set pieces. And if Wood's not in the team, then I think we need that alongside Bolly. But you know what you'll get with Ryan Yates. I think the only area that concerns me with him is that he has sort of given away silly free kicks from time to time. But I'd say that trend has decreased, and he's improved in that side of the game. But you know Yates is going to be able to keep up with the game. I don't think he's going to be overawed by the occasion. Some of this stuff about, you know, he loves Forest and he's been here for all that stuff, maybe that's intangible nonsense, but I sort of feel it does mean something. And I would be confident if I was Nuno about sending him out and knowing that he was going to do a job for me and he was going to leave nothing out there. With Sangare, I worry that we're going to end up with a sort of narrative created around him that seems to be growing now, that he might be a bit of a problem or he's off the pace and all that sort of stuff. And I think the truth is he hasn't played much football here at all. He's obviously had injuries. AFCON's been a bit of a mess. He's come into a football team that has been all over the place. We haven't been able to find a steady 11. And as such, the context and the circumstances for him to thrive here have not been great. But you can't argue that he hasn't done it in a red shirt yet. But I do think we should be a bit careful about sort of building up those narratives around players, because, you know, I was someone who wanted him to sign for us before he came, before it was even mooted. I think there's a player there. And if he can get up to speed, then he could still be a really important asset for us. But, you know, regardless of whether that becomes the case or not, I think we do need to try and have a sort of basic level of support for players wherever we can, and a sort of positivity around them, and hope, because as fans, we do have to play a part in them coming to our football club and succeeding. So I think we need to be a bit careful not to build up too much of a narrative around him. But for me, Yates is an absolute no-brainer. I'd send him out onto the pitch knowing that he was going to give everything to get the points for us.
I'm not sure Luton's midfield is like this Battle of the Somme kind of 1970s match of the day thing that I feel like some fans are building up to be. Last night they played Ross Barkley, Tahith Chong, Ogbeni kind of tucked in, and Jordan Clark, who's a bit of a ratter, but I don't know if he's going to be too much more than that. I just kind of think I'd be very happy if Ryan Yates started, like I said. But if Sangare goes on, gets ball, you know, passes to teammate type job, you should expect a bit more for the money we've paid. Although someone said in the comments we shouldn't, it's not his fault what we paid for him. But
No, not at all.
If he goes out there and gets the ball, keeps the ball, gives it to someone who can pass it, then, you know, that should be fine. But then Ryan Yates can do that as well. So, I'd be happy if it... I'd certainly be happy if Yates played. And I would be nervous if Sangare played, but I still think he can do a job. I really hope he can, because if he plays well, then we should be a better side.
It's
a really obvious thing to say, but just pick our best 11. So if Sangare fits better in there, put him in. If not, Yates. But we didn't pick our best 11 against Brighton, and it didn't work. So just pick the best 11, and, you know, just go for it.
I was just going to add that it's not so much that it's some sort of gigantic physical battle that I'm expecting that we need Yates as a general for. It's more the case that they have that sort of box in midfield, so there's bodies there that outnumber us potentially. We're going to need Gibbs-White to dig in and help out as well. But Yates brings that a sort of reliable energy. You know that he's going to be talking, passing players on. I think that he gives us a better chance of coping with the sort of intensity and that they bring in numbers than Sangare potentially does. The worry with Sangare is that sometimes games just seem to pass him by, or that moments seem to pass him by, and he's just maybe not quite up to the pace of the, or the intensity of the game. And I just don't think we're going to get away with that today. If he starts and he's had a great week in training and he can be the player that we sort of hope he can, fantastic. I'll be absolutely all over that. But if it was me picking that team, I'd be sending Ryan Yates out as one of the first names of my team sheet, knowing that he was going to do everything possible.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that was the issue as well, that Luton play with that intensity, don't they? We know the Premier League has an intensity anyway, but Luton just seemed to be like the Duracell bunny and just keep going and going. They obviously looked absolutely distraught and leggy in the second half yesterday against Bournemouth. But I just think we need someone like Yates to break up that midfield and just to get stuck in on them, because Luton just never seem to give up. It doesn't matter what's going on the field, that they never give up. So yeah.
Matt, can I just add one more thing on the lineups? I know you probably want to move on, but I think this is going to be an absolutely huge game for Nico. He's got a big duel up against him, and he's had a couple of those in recent weeks. I guess I'm thinking of that, what seems like a sort of a duel that sort of dominated lots of moments of the game against West Ham with him and Kudus. There was just so much of that one-on-one going on. And he did a job on Diaz for much of the Liverpool game as well. I think he's going to be crucial in terms of keeping Doughty quiet, and also hopefully pushing him back. But also, I mean, it's obviously a very tight, narrow pitch, and opportunities to get in behind might be a bit more slim than we would like. Nico's ability to drive into the box and to cross could be really pivotal at the other end as well. And we know they're not great defending in those situations. So feels to me like after a really, really good run of form for him, this could be another great opportunity for Nico.
I think the key man for me, even though it's a narrow pitch, is Ilanga. Mm. Like you looked at Semenya last night, just he dominated that game. Surely we've not really touched on this, Henry. We just kind of assume that Ilanga and Hudson-Odoi are going to play, but it just feels like absolutely essential that those players start and we go out front foot to me.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it, to start Ilanga, certainly with his pace. And am I right in thinking he could draw Doughty out, couldn't he? Because he loves to push forward, which will meet them short at the back, which gives Ilanga space and cross into the box. Chris Wood, a one he had. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, why Ilanga doesn't start every game is a mystery to me. But we, like we say, we always say this, don't we? We only see 90-plus minutes on the pitch. The Forest coaching staff see them in training every day. But for Ilanga's pace skill set, I think he needs to start, and I really hope he will. I guess the only possibility is he might side with starting Origi instead, but hopefully it will be Ilanga and Hudson-Odoi on the left.
Yeah,
I think you're both right on that. But I do think Hudson-Odoi has an absolutely massive part to play as well. It strikes me that the sort of one of the obvious weaknesses for them is isolating those wide centre backs. They haven't got the most mobile options there because of the injury list that they've got that we might talk about later. And Ilanga's pace is obviously a great threat. But, I mean, Hudson-Odoi, when he's played recently, he's looking pretty sharp. And I think he might not be rapid anymore like perhaps he once was, but he's still got a turn of pace, and he also glides with the ball and can take players on with ease. And I think if he can isolate Burke at right centre-back, then he could have an absolutely torrid time against him. I'm pretty hopeful about that as well.
We haven't mentioned the intangible of a points deduction yet because we don't know it's going to happen. But if they find out, Emily, do you think it rallies them? Do you think it kills them? And we don't know really, but your perception of this group and how they might react if they go into the game 6 points light or 3 points light, we don't really know what it's going to be.
No, we don't know. We don't know what they're being told at the moment. So it might be that it's something they've talked about and this is they're coping with it in a certain way. But for me, if I was a footballer, it would be the uncertainty. It would be the not knowing, are we going to get a points deduction or aren't we? How much will it be? When will it come into place? How will it affect our season? So maybe no matter what the outcome is, whenever they find out, whether it be Friday or after that, just knowing means they know where they are, they know where they stand, and then they know this is what we need to get to stay in the Premier League. And if we do get a points deduction, hopefully we'll do what Everton did and just rally round and think, right, it says against the world, let's go, let's do this. I think the uncertainty is more unsettling than the actual points deduction, because we all know that there will be a sanction. It's just we don't know what it is, when it will be, and by how much.
True. Mark Southern's Stats King sent in some. I'm going to do a little graphic of Mark's face or something for these stats and put it on screen. But he did send some in before the game. I'll just read a couple either of interest around our defensive failings. He says, we're one of only two sides where all our defensive errors leading to a chance have resulted in a goal conceded. That's four times. We conceded 18. This shows we're quite good defensively, but we just screw up in isolation. It always ends up in the back of our net. We conceded 18 big chances under Nuno. Only Arsenal, with a ridiculous 8, that is mad, can better that. And yet we've conceded 20 goals from 18 big chances. By contrast, Man City have conceded 19 and allowed just 18 goals. Also an attacking one around set pieces, which we'll just touch on briefly. Our corner conversion rate, the percentage of corners finding a teammate, is 19%. The fourth lowest behind, weirdly, Chelsea, Spurs and Man City. But Luton's is only 23.3%. So basically, our set pieces in attack are rubbish, which we know. But, Pete, when you watched that game last night, Luton looked really vulnerable from set pieces. Could this finally be the game where Morg Gibbs-White finds a teammate and we actually head it in their net?
Well, I mean, it has to be at some point, doesn't it? You really hope so. I mean, I feel like that insane list of stats has just totally blown my mind, and I can't think about anything else apart from what all that means. But yeah, no, you would hope so. And they did look weak, and they are they're definitely vulnerable to balls into the box. And I think that goes for open play as well as the set pieces. I mean, you'd hope it has to come good at some point. And I think the introduction of Bolly into the team, which is something we've all gone for, should make a difference. Because he does carry threat, and even if he's not necessarily scoring goals, his presence should have an impact. Would hopefully take away best markers, free up a bit of space, all that sort of thing, cause a bit of chaos, all that sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful that that's a route to success for us. And as I mentioned before, I think the Forest fullbacks have a role to play as well with their weakness against crosses. I think, you know, both Williams and Harry Toffolo have got the ability to put in good balls that can be dangerous. So I'm very hopeful that could be a sort of a successful avenue for us.
Thank you very much to Rob C for becoming a member as well. That's five people joining the stream. So that's fantastic. Thank you. Equally, Emily, the flip side of that is we know our own defensive vulnerabilities. I guess Willy Bolly, if he plays, there's an onus on him, but whoever the centre halves are, and just collectively, there's an onus to take some responsibility here, I guess. And just, it's so basic, but head the bloody ball away for 90 minutes.
That's exactly what we need to do. Open down, just kick down ball out. Don't mess about with it on the edge of your box. This is why I think Bolly needs to start, because of that defence capability that he's got. And I don't think a game like Luton on Saturday would faze him. I think he'd do a good job. And then maybe Murillo could wander a bit if he wanted to, because we know he loves a wander. They've just all got to put in a shift. It's really simple. It's really, really simple. Just put in a shift, do your work, do your jobs, and we should come out on top. And thinking about mentality, do you remember before the Man United game when Gibbs White said, Man United don't want to be here, they don't want to be here? We kind of need that mentality on Saturday, don't we? Hopefully they're sort of talking about that on the training ground and saying, look what happened to Luton last night. We need to go in for the kill. We need to make sure that we damage them early and we just hit them when they're down. It's exactly what they need to do. We need to go in and we need to fight from minute one and just make sure that any sort of confidence they've got left in the Premier League, we need to destroy it. And I feel really bad saying that, because if I wasn't a Forest fan and we weren't in a dogfight with them, I'd want them to stay up, because I admire what Red Buds has done. I admire that team and I think they're brilliant. But unfortunately, this is war and we need to come out on top.
Mm-hmm. I think neutrals would quite like us to go down this season.
Of course they would.
So we should actually harness that and use that. Thank you very much to Nomad for becoming a member as well. Very good of you. So thank you for that. Last point, Pete, or last topic of conversation I was going to say was just around the other fixtures. There's very few of them this weekend. Burnley v Brentford could be a really interesting game. I said this a couple of times already, but if Burnley win that game, you know, the agony in the Brentford camp going into an international break would be very interesting. Everton don't play, Sheffield United don't play, and Palace don't play. So it just further adds that kind of sense and that narrative that how big a win could be, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to your interview with Colin Frey the other day, which I thought was excellent. And he mentioned Steve Cooper using the word context a lot to talk about the sort of noise around games, I suppose. And I think that's where we are now. This game is absolutely dripping with context. There's so much of it, and all of it seems to add to this feeling of intensity and pressure and importance. So I think it's pretty huge. We need to make sure that we come out of it without that sort of big swing against us, because, you know, you go into that international break on a real downer, and that's a big job for Nuno to turn around the atmosphere and to make the squad believe again. But the opposite is also an incredibly powerful situation, and we could go into a 2-week break having absolutely, to use Emily's brutal words, sort of destroyed Luton. And I mean, the confidence we can take from that would be absolutely huge. And there's winnable games to come as well. There's more context for you. I mean, it does feel like it's absolutely laced with importance and context. So, yeah, it's massive. And like we said earlier, this is just a moment where they're going to have to step up, because too many times recently they haven't done that. I'm thinking particularly of those games against Villa and Brighton, where, you know, we thought perhaps maybe we'd turned a bit of a corner and that things were going to start to come together. But then they sort of never really emerged from the tunnel. You know, they weren't really there. But we have shown much better than that in other games under Nuno. And now it's got to be one of those times. And it's got to be the start of consistency on that front. There just can be no excuses for not coming out and getting stuck into this one from the very off.
Dripping with context is something people have latched onto, Pete. Oozes football context.
Yeah. No, I must admit, I was struggling to not look at your face. Sort of. I don't know whether you the deep awkwardness in your face after I said that.
Well, filthy context made him. That's probably the wrong podcast. I think that's something else. But yeah, it was a good phrase.
That could be an offshoot podcast for us, filthy context.
Like Holly Oaks Lane night, yeah. Right. Let's move on. Any final thoughts, Emily, on the game or anything? In fact, any final thoughts on the game and any other business? Because the clock is ticking. I know Pete's got an appointment coming up.
Do you know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm so nervous. I'm so, so nervous. And I've got those butterflies already. And every time I talk about it, I feel sick. So I think we need to harness that nervous energy and go out there and destroy them. And all will be fine. All will be fine. Just have confidence in our players, and we'll be fine. But I'm not looking forward to it. That's all. Absolutely terrified. Terrified.
I just hope we go out there and attack. Like, don't be someone. I think it's Greg Oram. Use the word passive. Like the last two away games, the first half, we've been relentlessly passive, if that's a thing. So let's go out there and have a go at them and, you know, test them, because they're going to be a really low ebb if we can go out and score first and, you know, put them on the back foot on the and quiet down the crowd, as Pete said. So yeah, that's my take on it. I don't really have any other business other than I'm not wearing a hoodie today, which no one's noticed. I'm just wearing a zip up jacket.
Nice.
Kind of peering
I'm
over
trying to,
it,
I'm trying to look
as if it's
as
like
if
a
I
3D
could
screen
see.
Or something. Yeah.
No, we're actually all in the same room. Yeah. This is all an illusion.
Pete, anything from you?
I'm absolutely lost in the comments box of some
the
of these
context.
Absolutely hilarious. I'm very much enjoying that bread and dripping of context. There was another
from Pat, yeah.
50 Shades of Context is a good one as well.
That's all that one as well.
No, nothing else from me apart from just to say I agree with both of you and with what Greg has said in the comments. I think it's important that we don't make this the absolute be-all and end-all. And if we come out of this with a fighting draw and it's been a tough game, then and the performance is there, then it's still fine and there's plenty of time. But having said that, it is a big moment. There's a lot of context, filthy context going in our favour. And it has to be one that we take advantage of. I think we have to go out there, be aggressive, and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And let's face it, if they can't do that in a moment like this, then, you know, we're sort of going to deserve to get relegated, aren't we? These are the times when you have to stand up and show it.
Yeah, I think so. I agree about the performance and the approach and the mentality. If that's all there and we somehow end up drawing the game through, you know, some painful circumstances, I'd still be confident coming out of it. It's just, you know, how we go about it is essential. Ollie Bowers asked who's reffing. I can't remember. Is it Darren England? It's not one of the high profile no. refs anyway. They've saved those for other games, whether that's
we
good or bad.
Have you got it there? Let me find
it.
Oh,
it's Colin Frey saying yesterday how he's looked at all the dodgy VAR decisions to see if there's any kind of names that correlate of ones we should avoid. And basically there's not, and every ref has, you know, done us dirty at some point this season, so I don't think it really matters. And also let's not focus on referees. Let's just go with whatever's thrown at us and, I don't know, don't complain. Well, you can complain afterwards, but let's look after ourselves first, certainly. Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's so much, what's the word?
Context?
Guff in our podcast chat that I can't find who the referee is. But it's not
Darren,
a controversial one.
Darren England, according to James in the comments.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so I think it's Darren England.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just put this on the screen. Darren England, fourth official, Dean Whiteston. I don't think that matters. And then VAR is Andy Madley. So there you go. Hopefully we're not talking about them at all, certainly, come Monday. Right, tomorrow's show will be with Temps and Greg and Mikey, I think. And we'll do stuff on PSR around what we think about these new rules. And obviously, if we know something about Forest point deduction, then it'll be 99% about that. And then just some general chat from those lads about the Luton game as well, and how they view the context of it all. So that'll be at 3:30. In the meantime, thanks everyone in the comments. It's been busy and quite upbeat and quite friendly and nice, which I do like. Hopefully everyone feels a collective sense of optimism. And I hope that doesn't lead to even more misery on Saturday. But Saturday evening as well, post-match show, myself and Mark, and there's space for someone else or two other people, if anyone fancies it, in our little group. But yeah, we'll sort that out close to time. Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I just mention Pete's T-shirt? I forgot. Forest shirt, love it. One of my faves from the 90s. Labatt, love it. Gorgeous. Goodbye.
Is it a sweaty one?
It is, yeah. After all the filthy context, it's getting pretty moist.
That's only because we were saying before we started going live that it was a sweaty football shirt. Not just me asking that randomly, because that would be a bit weird.
Bit offensive.
Yes, true. Right. Did you have any other business, Pete? I can't remember. There's nothing you wanted
to say. No, nothing sentimental. Nothing from me today. I'll keep my sentimental stuff to myself for another week.
Good. Well, you'll be back next week. Right. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a good day, and we shall see you tomorrow. But in the meantime, I feel like I psychologically now have to say we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.